Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally. It's a webcast and a podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. I'm Brad Locke, joined by Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps. Again, it's a webcast around 11 a.m. every Wednesday, and then the podcast version drops later in the day in iTunes or podcast apps or at prepperally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at DJournalPrep so you can find out there when we drop a new episode or when we have a new webcast, and also on Friday nights, we're tweeting high school football scores from there, obviously. All right, then. Guys, welcome back. Hopefully, we won't have the audio issues we had last week.
Okay.
Because it was kind of bad, Gene.
We're back in the house.
You're dropping some serious knowledge last week, Gene, and then the audio would just randomly cut out. So we think it's a YouTube Live thing. It happened with Capital View a couple of times. So hopefully that is resolved, and hopefully everyone can hear us just fine. So we're getting kind of toward the end of the football season, fellas. It happens so fast. High school season seems to.
Yeah, we still got, what, 3-4 weeks?
We're into week 9.
1A and 6A got 4 weeks left.
Yeah, so.
And then about 4 weeks of playoffs.
So. True, that's true.
I guess maybe season.
I'm not having to cover it like y'all are.
The thing that makes it tough, and I brought it up before, and I was telling Blake about it, is the fact that basketball season and soccer is cranking up, and all the other fall sports are coming down to the end. It gets real busy.
Yeah, indeed, Gene. So we got plenty to talk about today on the show. We're going to look back at last week, some of the key games that happened, and then we'll look ahead to some big matchups going on this week. Couple of teams that are red hot, guys, we want to talk about first. Tupelo, still undefeated, Gene. Went up to South Haven and won 38-7. No problems there, cruising on to another win, although they did have a bit of a slow start, didn't they?
They did. They scored late in the first half. They were trailing 7-3, and Stephon McGlynn, the sophomore quarterback, found a senior wide receiver or slot back, Dante Freeman, on a corner route for a touchdown with under a minute remaining in the first half, kind of give Golden Wave a little momentum going into the half and put them up 10-7. They came back and dominated the second half.
Yeah, and I guess that could maybe be served as a bit of a wake-up call, which would be a good time for it, and we'll talk about who they're playing this week. But really the first, I don't know, one of the few hiccups we've seen from this team.
Right, and it wasn't that much of a hiccup when it came to it, and they responded well. I mean, this team's doing different things every week. I mean, the defense has been pretty consistent. Offense is finding different ways to score, and when they put it all together, they'll be pretty dangerous. You know, looking down the schedule, starting with this week, and we'll talk about it later, at South Panola, this may be one of their last serious challenges, although I hear Horn Lake's fairly decent this season. I don't think Olive Branch, by looking at the records and DeSoto Central having that good of seasons, there is a possibility that Tupelo could go undefeated in the regular season.
Yeah, certainly.
A real possibility.
Could win the division and be considered a contender, certainly in 6A, certainly a tough class to break through to the state championship, but Tupelo remains undefeated. Amory, let's talk about the Amory Panthers. Not undefeated, but they are on a winning streak, Blake, and they took care of business again. They beat Pontotoc 26-18, second straight week they knocked someone from the ranks of the unbeatens. They beat the Itawamba AHS the week prior. It looks like first-year coach Alan Glenn, the guys are really starting to obviously they bought into it, but now things are coalescing pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. 5-game winning streak. And I first saw them in the Jamboree in Starkville when they played Kemper County to, you know, obviously the Jamboree to begin the year. This was the first time I was able to see them since. And I was floored at how different they look and how confident the team is playing behind first year head coach Alan Glenn. And yeah, I mean, they just look on a roll, and they just look like a solid football team that knows what they have to do, and they know if they do what they need to do, they have a really good shot at winning.
What's kind of been the key for them
is Zatorius Gates has really come on for him. He's their senior quarterback,
right?
And he got hurt last year in the fifth game. He had a tore his like ACL, MCL, and cracked his, I think a bone in his ankle. He cracked another bone in his leg, though, right? And so, you know, had to go through the rehab process, and his first like real live game was that jamboree that I saw. It, you could tell he was, you know, weary of playing on that leg, and, sure, and I think that's how the season kind of started out. And they had a pretty surprising loss in the third game of the year to Aberdeen. And it was Aberdeen's only victory.
Yeah, Aberdeen is way down this year.
Yeah, and so that was very surprising. But he's really come on. It, you know, you can tell he's just the leader of the team, as any senior quarterback would be. And so when he's playing confidently, the rest of the guys around him are as well.
And now I guess the question is, can they keep this up? They currently lead the division. And it seems like last year they got off to a pretty good start. And
they went 2-0 and then fell flat.
Fell flat the rest of the year. So they're kind of at that point again.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of wonder. Of course, they got a different coach now, so maybe it's a different result for them.
Absolutely. And also last year they didn't have Gates, right? You know,
they lost him shortly before the collapse.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And it just really fell out of steam. You know, I mean, beating Itawamba AHS 2 weeks ago and then last week beating Pontotoc, which is a really good football team. They certainly, and of course I wasn't here last year and I wouldn't know more about the collapse, but it certainly looks like Amory seems to be the real deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they can keep it rolling and won't have this collapse that they did last year.
And we're going to move on to another game from last week. And this was a barn burner, as they call it, to trot out all the old cliches, shootout.
An arena football game.
Yeah, that's about what it was. Or a basketball game.
Yeah.
Judging by the final score, Itawamba AHS defeated Shannon 63-51, and that's another Division I 4A game right there. And, I mean, Austin King, the senior quarterback, had a huge night, 365 yards on just 14 completions, by the way, four touchdowns passing to four different receivers. And, you know, that's Shannon is one of those teams we talked about could light it up this year. And they did last Friday, mm-hmm. but their defense has shown some at times this year that they've really struggled.
Yeah. And they struggled earlier in the year when I was able to watch them, when Gene and I both went to the Tupelo game. Yeah, yeah. The defense started out strong and then just kind of faded. And then in this game, they just, I don't even know how many stops they came up with. I mean, to give up 63 points, it's got to be pretty disappointing.
Yeah, certainly. But, you know, you look at the standings right now in 1-4A, and again, Amory is on top at 2-0. Then you got four teams all at 1-1. So even with that loss, Shannon still in the thick of it. Pontotoc, Itawamba, Shannon, and Corinth all at 1-1. And then you've got Tishomingo County down there at 0-2. So
that has to be the most interesting division, I think.
I think
any of those teams could still win that division. I think they're all pretty good and bring different things to the table.
Yeah, I mean, Amory obviously has the big game with Shannon this week, and then if they get past them, Tishomingo County, which won't be a cakewalk. I mean,
you would imagine they would win, though.
Yeah, but they gave Corinth a little trouble last week before Corinth came back and won, and that's the last game of the regular season for Amory will be Corinth at home. So it's Shannon at home, at Tishomingo, Corinth at home. So Amory has certainly a path that's doable, considering the way
he's
playing. But you can't expect things to go your way. And then you got all these other teams just a game behind them. This is really still just about anyone's division to win in 1-4A. So we'll keep an eye on that division race. Like Blake said, probably the most interesting division in the area. Some other notable results from the area. I mentioned just a moment ago, Corinth did rally to beat Tishomingo County 21-12 last week. Starkville dropping the 70 on Greenville, 70-0. That's the 700th win in program history, and I believe it was the 250th for Ricky Woods, the coach.
Right.
So a big win there for Starkville. And then Smithville in 1A, those guys have been kind of almost quietly having a really, really good year. They defeated West Lowndes 55-31. D. Moore had five touchdowns in that game. In fact, looking at the standings, I mean, they're 6-1, 4-0 in division 1-1A. Vardaman also 4-0, so that'll be a good matchup when that happens. And in fact, I'm trying to want to go back and see when that game is when they meet up. That'll be the 21st, next weekend. Smithville will host Vardaman, so that'll be a good one. So those are just some key results from last week. So there you go. That is week 8 in the books. Let's look ahead to week 9. Some big games coming up, and we mentioned it briefly earlier, Gene. Tupelo putting the unbeaten record on the line, 7-0 overall, 3-0 in the division, hosting South Panola, which these don't look like the South Panola Tigers we're used to seeing, because they're 4-4, right?
Right,
yeah, 4-4, but 3-0 in division.
Right.
So don't get too.
They're starting to right the ship at the right time.
Exactly.
You know, I've been here 30 years. This is my 31st football season, and I don't recall a time going into this particular game where Tupelo would be going in the favorite. Maybe back in the early days of the series before South Panola became South Panola.
Right.
And started winning all the championships. But in recent memory, and I'm saying dating back 15 to 20 years, I just can't remember a time that Tupelo would be favored going in. I got to figure if you were doing odds, you would have to rate Tupelo a favorite going into this ball game. What's wrong with South Panola? Nothing really. They're young. They're starting a lot of 10th graders, a lot of sophomores, and they're still. Coach Hammond told me the other day, Trent Hammond with Tupelo, that they're still big and they're still quick on defense, disruptive. Their offensive line, they'll still run it at you, try to shove you off the ball. That'll be a key thing during the game, how Tupelo's defensive front will handle South Panola's offensive front. I don't think it'll be an easy game for Tupelo by any means, even though South Panola's won three games in the division. They haven't been real convincing wins. I think they beat Horn Lake 7-0. They beat
Olive Branch 19-0 and beat Hernando 35-26.
Yeah, and Tupelo beat Hernando 31-0. So I don't know. You can throw all that. I'm not going to say a cliche, but, you know, I just think it's going to be a really good game. I think it'll be I think Tupelo will probably win by two touchdowns. We don't predict anymore, but it'll still be close. And one of those touchdowns will probably come late to see, like 20-6 or something like that, much like the Clarksdale game the first of the year.
And you look at the losses, the four losses by South Panola. I mean, two of them are to Clinton and Meridian. They're both ranked in the top 10 in the state. Another one to Memphis University, which is most years is a pretty strong program.
Right.
And then Madison Central, the 2-point loss, and Madison Central is just kind of mediocre this year. That's really the only loss that looks really bad.
You hate to search for blemishes when you're covering a team that's 7-0.
Yeah,
but Tupelo does have its moments where they make some critical errors. They've fumbled punts. They've had short punts. They've had, you know, some breakdowns at times. You know, defensively, even though they're good. I mean, I know I'm being nitpicky, but in a game like this, that might come back to haunt you and might make it a lot tougher for you to win, might cause you to lose.
And you figure they're still a well-coached team. Lance Pogue is still the coach. Now, this is his last season.
Right.
And you wonder how that's played into things. Like you said, they're young, so maybe he sees this as a good time to step away. Maybe we don't know all the reasons he's leaving, but you can't go into a South Panola game thinking you got this.
No, and Hammond, I was telling Blake this the other day, and I'll have it in my story, but he's warning his kids against having sticker shock. In other words, looking at the logo on the side of South Panola's helmet and falling behind already in that game, the mental game.
Right.
And that plays a big part.
Sure does. Then you get in your head, they're South Panola.
And, you know, it's kind of like when you play Alabama. They get in your head.
That's right.
And but anyway, I think it's going to be a really great ball game. I think it's going to be a close game.
Yeah,
I do.
All right, looking forward to it. Another game to watch, and we've just talked about both of these teams. Shannon will visit Amory again. A big 1-4A game. Amory leads the division at 2-0. Shannon is at 1-1. Could with a win here, the Red Raiders could put themselves in position to win the division. Certainly, you know. And we've talked a lot about the Shannon offense this year, and it's a good offense, no doubt. Averaging 31.4 points per game. But you look at Amory, maybe we should talk about their offense. They're averaging 28.6 per game, and over the last four games, they're averaging 38.8 points. They're scoring almost 40 points a game here in the last month during this winning streak.
Yeah, no, and they they've really hit their stride. And, you know, this game could be another shootout like Shannon was in last week.
Could be. I mean, but then you look, because you look at Shannon's defense and it's struggle. So we could have another shootout. I don't know how much Amory's giving up per game as far as points and whatnot. But I kind of have to think maybe you give Amory the advantage here. They just seem to be the hotter
team. I think so, too, and especially at home again. And, I mean, they were impressive last week against Pontotoc.
I mean, you take out the Aberdeen game, which seems now like an anomaly. They gave up 44 points. Yeah. Besides that game, they haven't given up more than 21 points to anybody. So,
yeah.
So that, to me, kind of maybe pushes things in their favor a little bit. Amory again, and that'll be at Amory. Yeah, so
right.
They'll be at home for that one. So that'll be a good one. Shannon at Amory. Corinth at Itawamba AHS, another big 1-4A game. Both of those teams, again, are 1-1 in division. I don't know what to make of this one, guys. I mean, this is toss-up to me.
I mean, Corinth, it really seems like you don't know what Corinth team's going to show up.
Yeah, they lost to Kossuth, they lost to Pontotoc, they lost two in a row, then they come back, and they struggled the first half against Tisch County, but win. So it seems like they're not, you know, we thought they were clicking after the Boonville-New Albany games.
Yeah.
Now, maybe not so much.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I feel like with any team with the wing T, you don't know how it's going to come out and how the timing is going to be. It could come out, and they could be firing on all cylinders and win the game handily, or the timing could just be off, and they're going to struggle.
Yeah, but obviously, Itawamba can put up the points.
Yeah.
So I could see them winning a high-scoring affair there as well. Other games to watch this week, you've got – you'll be at this game, I believe, Blake. East Union at Baldwin.
Yeah.
Yeah, East Union is 7-1, 2-0. And Baldwin's struggling a bit this year, but, hey, they're still 2-0.
Yeah, still 2-0. And the winner of this really will put them in great position to win the their division. And it's going to be a – real good matchup for East Union's running back, Joel Wilkinson, who's just been absolutely killing it.
Yeah, he has.
You know, could be an athlete of the week, any week. Always has a chance to have that explosive game. And Baldwin's defensive line is really good. I just got done talking to East Union's head coach, and he was saying this is probably the most athletic defensive line we're going to face all year, and it's led by Jimmy Tyes, who is one of our seven players to watch at the beginning of the year, who's leading Baldwin in tackles.
Yeah.
How many defensive tackles really lead a team?
Not many.
Their
job's not to tackle, it's to plug holes.
Absolutely. Jimmy Tyes, I've seen him play a few times. He plugged up the holes, but he also tackles the guy as well.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. East Union's head coach said, we're just going to have to double team them and try to out scheme them because athletically they do have an advantage.
Yeah. Another game to watch is going to be in 1-3A, Boonville at Benton County. Now, Benton County is kind of out on the fringes of our coverage area. You may not hear a lot about them, but they're a relatively young program as well. Just started up a few years ago. But I mean, they're 2-0 in the division, tied for first with Kossuth and Boonville. So that'll be a big game that the Boonville has to go up to. Benton County for that one. And then you've got Bruce at Calhoun City. Now Calhoun City's having a great year, 7-1, 2-0 in Division 4-2A. Bruce having a so-so year, but they are coming off a pretty big win over Eupora. I would say that was an upset.
Yeah,
that game. It was a close win that Bruce got, so maybe they can keep that rolling. This is the Schooner River rivalry, as they call it, Blake. So I don't know if you've become familiar with it yet, but it's always a big rivalry. Bruce has normally been better than they are this year over the years, and Calhoun City is always good as well. Okay, so that's your wrap-up for football, looking behind, looking ahead. Let's touch real quick on softball, Gene. The playoffs for slow pitch have begun. They started yesterday. We've already got some series that were decided.
Yeah, you probably could have done away with that first round. There were a lot of blowouts. I mean, you know, like some of those arena scores, you know, like 99-5, and exaggerating, but it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Now we're down to the usual suspects, so to speak. Let's just go through them here real quick. These are games. State quarterfinals are second round games, our series, best of three series. West Union and Smithville, Pine Grove and Hamilton.
Yeah.
Smithville and Hamilton are always there.
Yep.
Let's see if they still get there.
Yep.
East Union, Calhoun City, Ingomar and East Webster in 2A.
Wow.
I've heard of all those teams, and they're good. Class 3A, Kossuth and Morville. Heard of Morville?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Kossuth's good, too. South Pontotoc and Nettleton. Those are four good teams. Good teams.
Yes. 3A is always stacked around
and
here.
And in 4A, you've got Amory, West Lauderdale, and Houston against Northeast Lauderdale. And we didn't get a score last night, so I don't know what happened to Saltillo. Hadn't seen any tweets. They played at Grenada. Saltillo was our lone 5A, 6A entry in the playoffs, so we'll have to just check on that one. Hopefully we can have it in the paper tomorrow, but hadn't seen anything.
Well, somebody hit us up at D Journal Preps. Let us know. Or at Gene Phillips, either one. Okay, so that's your softball update. Playoffs ongoing.
We'll one other update. The North State Swim Meet this weekend, Saturday in Jackson. The winners and qualifiers from this North meet Saturday will be here in 2 weeks for the state meet.
In Tupelo
at the Tupelo Aquatic Center.
So you get to go to Jackson this week?
I will go to Jackson. I was having trouble trying to get a room because this meet runs into the night. Jackson State and Southern University are playing a big game.
Oh, yeah.
It's homecoming for Jackson State, and trying to find a motel room.
Yeah, good luck.
It's almost impossible, but I got one.
Well, good. All right. So look for Gene's coverage from that as well. And Gene, we'll keep the mic over there with you, man. We got athletes of the week now. We do this every week. We recognize a male and female athlete for their exploits on the field of play.
Okay. So I've got the female and he has the male.
All right,
so
Gene.
We'll whop the mic.
Oh, there you go.
All right. Maggie Smithy.
Maggie Smithy.
Wrote this last night. She led Ingemar. She had 4 home runs, won a grand slam.
Good heavens.
In their sweep, and they'll be playing of Mantachie, and they'll be playing East Webster Saturday.
That'll be
a really good series. All the series now
are really good. Yeah.
All of them are good.
Looks like it. So Maggie Smithy of Ingemar. Yeah. Okay. And the male athlete of the week, Blake.
He was mentioned earlier in the show, but Austin King of Itawamba AHS. Yes.
Huge game.
4 touchdowns, 365 yards on only 14 completions.
Pretty good average.
Pretty good, right? And anytime you can lead your offense to 63 points.
You've done a good job.
Done a pretty good job, especially when the defense gives up 51. So you gotta put up some points.
Yeah, so congrats to Austin King, our male athlete of the week. That does it for Prep Rally today. Again, it's a webcast and a podcast. The webcast coming to you around 11 a.m. every Wednesday at djournal.com. If you just want to listen to the podcast, you can find that later in the day in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Again, follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. I'm on there as well at Brad Locke. We've got at Blake Morgan DJ and at Gene Phelps. All right, guys, that's it. More football coming this Friday. Y'all have fun out there covering those big games. And we got the softball and the swimming. Get all your coverage you need of high school sports in your daily journal and at djournal.com. So that's it for this edition of Prep Rally. We'll be back next week. Until then, have a good one.